Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've heard a little bit of a sampling of the importance of the local church and how we are connected to one another. And this passage really is a phenomenal passage reminding us of our connectedness, of our unity in the body of Christ, the need for one another, the family concept, the body concept, the local church. If you need a Bible, please alert Tom. He'll be glad to give you one. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll be beginning with verse 12. And we'll read through the remainder of the chapter there. A little bit of a lengthy portion, but just bear with me, all right? And just don't be afraid if it's your Bible. Underline in your Bible some of the key concepts that you come through. This is a great passage. Verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the foot, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with great modesty, which is our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? And the answers to these questions are no. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret, but earnestly desire the higher gifts? And I will show you a still more excellent way. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Father, as we come to this portion, I pray that each one of us might examine our own hearts, what we are doing with our own lives. Are we using the gifts that you have given to us? Are we recognizing the place of others in our life? Are we recognizing our need to reach out? So, Father, I pray that whatever the message each one of us needs to receive, that your Holy Spirit would do the work in us. May your word go forth in power. In Christ's name, amen. The big idea for today is this. God shows forth his glory through the church's dependence on Christ and display of unity in the midst of diversity. God shows forth his glory through the church's dependence on Christ and our display of unity in the midst of diversity. Our ultimate goal in our personal life as well as in our church life is to glorify God. We bring glory to God through our dependence on Christ as our head. Without him, there is no life. Without him, there is no direction or power. He is our Lord, our Savior, and the head of the church. We bring glory to God when we display to the world that we are in harmony with one another in spite of our differences. I mean, look around you. Look around you just a moment, okay? Look around you. Look at me. Look around, all right? There's a lot of differences represented in our congregation. Different backgrounds, different educational levels, all kinds of differences that we could bring out today. Different personalities, different gifts. But when we work together, that is a powerful demonstration of God's work in our lives. It's a powerful testimony to our community that God changes lives. And what naturally we may not have in an affinity with one another, yet Jesus Christ brings us together. And that's amazing. So today, as we consider this subject of unity and diversity, which is screaming from our passage this morning, here are 3 points. And you can fill in the main points, and then we'll go fill in the subpoints. The first point is this. We're going to look at an illustration of the church. We see that before us in the concept of the body, the physical body. Number two, we're going to consider 2 important elements in the function of the church, which is unity and diversity. And third, we're going to consider 2 faulty attitudes in the function of the church, ones that we should never have as a part of our lives, but sometimes we may be tending to do. So an illustration, some important elements, and then 2 faulty attitudes. Number one, as we consider the first, an illustration of the church. The New Testament gives us various metaphors that help us to understand the function of the church. Each one of these metaphors speak of participation, responsibility, and interconnectedness. Let me mention a few of them to you, but we're going to highlight one today that is before us in our passage. How about shepherd and sheep? We see that that's an image that is brought up not only in the Old Testament, but brings it into the New Testament as well. That pastors are compared to shepherds, and they are supposed to feed and protect and care for the sheep under their care. What a wonderful metaphor. But I'm glad that that's not the only metaphor. We also have the bride, or the bride of Christ. We have the fact that as believers, we are citizens in God's kingdom. We are members of God's household, or members of God's family. We are part of God's holy temple, that is, that God is building, and the Holy Spirit lives within us. We are branches of the vine. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. But here in our text before us, and all those are wonderful, and we've talked about some of those in the past. The one we have before us today is a wonderful picture and one of Paul's favorite ones, it seems, that of the body of Christ. And it uses the illustration of the physical body to help us to understand the body of Christ or the church. Many parts of a physical body, but all coming together to form one unit. In Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and Colossians, we see Paul makes over 30 references to the church by using the analogy of the human body. Just as bodies need care and attention, so the church, if it wants to be healthy, must experience that same care and attention and balance and exercise that is needed for the church to function properly. This concept of the body, the physical body, it shows the connectedness to one another. It shows the dependence or the interdependence that we have with one another. It shows that we need one another. It shows the different functions that we must all play. So the text before us is not giving us instruction on human anatomy, but it's showing how the local church needs to function, and it's given the illustration of the physical body. Notice what it says in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Now, it seems like an interesting way of saying that. Why does he not just say, so it is with the local church? It's surprising when you see, so it is with Christ. But here he's referring to the local church, to the body of Christ. He substitutes Christ here in this phrase for the church in order to impress on his readers that it's impossible to speak of the local church without speaking of Christ. We cannot separate Christ from the church any more than we can separate a head from the body. And we are seeing a disturbing trend taking place in our own country. We are seeing that Christ is being taken out of more and more. I've mentioned before, chaplains, many of them in the military, are not supposed to talk about Jesus Christ. They can talk about God, that's kind of generic, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people, as they're instructed to pray in communities, are told, don't mention Jesus or don't pray in the name of Jesus. But folks, when you remove Christ from the local church, it's like removing the head from the body. And that is a sad, sad state of affairs. There is no life in the body without the head. There is no life in the local church without Jesus Christ. And so here, this illustration that is before us is a wonderful picture of how we must have Christ to be our head, not a pastor, not men in the church. They help lead as under-shepherds of Christ, but Christ must be the head of the local church. What a beautiful illustration before us. Number two, we see there are two important elements in the functioning, the proper functioning of the local church. First, unity. We are united in one body. And we see that picture all throughout this chapter. We see in verse 4, same Spirit, same Lord, same God. Later on in verse 8, same Spirit. Again, one Spirit all throughout this passage. Verse 12, one body, one Spirit, one member. And on we find throughout this passage. So it's very clear the oneness, the unity that must be a part of the local church. And anything that destroys that unity is not from God. The term body is used something like 16 times in our text before us. And again, this is not the only portion of this reference. The human body is by far the most amazing creation of God. It is marvelously complex, yet unified. If it's divided, the part that is cut off or ceases to function dies, and the rest of the body loses some of its functioning and effectiveness. And I think we need to sort of take that and understand the importance of this unity that we have with one another. That brother or sister that's sitting next to you this morning is important to your life. And we'll look at that in just more in detail. But how did we get in this body to begin with? Not just the local church as believers, but into the body of Christ. Well, notice before us in verse 13, it tells us how we got in this body of Christ. It says in verse 13, for in one Spirit, or with one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. This is talking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Some groups emphasize this as an event that takes place later on after salvation. In other words, when you put your trust in Christ, all right, you become a Christian, a believer, you're saved. But later on, as you grow and all of a sudden start getting more mature, at some point you need to seek this baptism with the Holy Spirit. The New Testament doesn't know anything of that. Paul does not write in those terms. A believer, when you put your trust in Christ, you are baptized into the body of Christ at the moment of salvation. This is not referring to water baptism in the text before us. It's referring to what happens at conversion. When you're born again, you are placed into the body of Christ. Christ baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, and we're placed into the body of Christ. Very important. And you will have some groups, again, that will say that happens later on, all of a sudden a moment of just excitement that you're looking for, and all of a sudden, boom, he baptizes you. No, this takes place at the time of conversion. Well, we see that's how we're in the body. Christ has designed the body. He has saved us and placed us in the body, and we ought to be united. The second word there that is used is diversity. There are differences within this one body. We see that throughout verses 14 through 20. We see the hand and the foot in the physical body, and we see the interesting interaction. It's really a comical way that Paul is describing the fact that there are differences in the body. The most important characteristic, or maybe the most important characteristic of the body, is unity. But diversity is essential. The church is one body, but the body is not just one member, but many. Diversity within unity. Warren Wiersbe said, "Diversity in the body is an evidence of the wisdom of God. Each member needs the other members, and no member can afford to become independent. When a part of the human body becomes independent, you have a serious problem that can lead to sickness and even death." So, unity and diversity. We understand that concept. Let's move on to two faulty attitudes in the functioning of the local church. The first one is this: I am not important. You don't need me. As we look at verses 15 through 19, we see that there may be that tendency, and it gives it in a humorous way, as Paul writes. He says there in 15, "The foot should not say, because I'm not the hand, I'm stuck in a smelly old shoe, no one sees me, I'm not important." And it goes on and describes some other parts of the physical body. There is a tendency among a local church for people to have that kind of an attitude. "I'm not on the worship team. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a leader. So therefore, I am not important." It's this inferior kind of an attitude. But the Bible knows no part of that and wants us to understand very clearly that that is not a proper attitude that we should have. Each one of us are important. Even those parts that are behind the scenes are invaluable to the local church. A foot, a kidney, a heart. You have problems? You're going to feel it. Especially with a heart. I know that very well. It affects the whole body. And yet it's not seen. But oh, it's vital. The brain, you don't see it, but you know if it's not there. All right? Or if it's not functioning. Imagine yourself boarding a plane, going off to northern Wisconsin to visit maybe Zach or David. All right? You wanted to board a plane and go off into the snow belt way up there in northern Wisconsin. As you buckle your seatbelt and settle in for the flight, you smile that you got such a great deal on your tickets, and you're just dreaming about that winter wonderland. The pilot then comes on the intercom and makes this announcement. "This is your captain speaking. The reason your ticket was so much cheaper is because we've done away with all those people that are really not necessary for you. The maintenance man who services the plane, we quit his salary. The navigator who is only needed on foggy nights like tonight. The air traffic controller up in the tower, we didn't want to have them bother to show up. We also didn't think it was necessary to have those security people checking for weapons. Now have a nice flight and have a good day." Now, how would you feel if that was the case, with all those necessary personnel we're saying let go because that's the way we were able to make it cheaper? I would imagine you would not want to go on that airline ever again if you made it or survived getting there. The behind-the-scenes people in the local church are just as important, and even Scripture here before us, even more important than those who are up front or visible. No one is inferior because everyone is indispensable. The church will never get off the ground if you and I don't do our part, every one of us. Unfortunately, our age is one in which we exalt Christian celebrities. And you know, I must admit that sometimes I deal with a little bit of a kind of a downturn because I hear about all, I turn on the radio, I watch TV sometimes, and these great preachers are out there. They're on podcasts, they're on the internet, and all that stuff. And I'm going, wow, if people in our church are listening to them, they won't want to come back on a Sunday morning. But you know what? We need to be careful that we don't fall prey to that kind of an attitude, that we have a responsibility within our local church. You don't have, Chuck Swindoll will not be there for your sickness. He will not be there before your surgery. He's a wonderful Bible teacher. But you need to be a part of a local church where people can care for one another, and a pastor is there for you in time of need. Everyone in the local church is invaluable. Second, the second faulty attitude is this: I am most important. I don't need you. So we have, first of all, I'm not important, you don't need me. But the second faulty attitude is, I'm most important, I don't need you. We see that in verse 20 and following. And it talks about this in verse 21 especially. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The worship team cannot say to the nursery workers, I don't need you. No, we need you. If it weren't for you, we wouldn't have parents in the auditorium. There's so many parts that are going on here, and there's no one that is more important unless we refer to the head, which is Jesus Christ. He is the most important one. You have no reason to boast. I have no reason to boast. God has given us the gifts we have for the building up of the body of Christ, and we need to use them faithfully. I hate to even use this illustration because I'm not a Green Bay Packers fan, but Vince Lombardi, a legendary coach of the Green Bay Packers, is often quoted when talking about the importance of winning. What you may not know is that he was also committed to caring. He could throw things around in the locker room at the halftime with any of the best of them. But he also said this: if you're going to play together as a team, you've got to care for one another. You've got to love each other. Each player has to be thinking about the next guy and say to himself, if I don't block that man, Paul is going to get his legs broken. He goes on to say this: I have to do my job well in order that he can do this. Lombardi went on to say that the difference between mediocrity and greatness is the feeling that every guy is important. Friends, you will never care for Christians, or non-Christians for that matter, if you believe that you are somehow someone special, or you're more important, or better than they are. God has designed the body in such a way that everyone is important. Everyone has a contribution to give. There is no exception. Everyone is valuable. Every believer is divinely placed in the body as he chooses. Notice verse 18. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. Verse 24. God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. And so we all have a contribution to play. We need each other. And why do we need each other? Well, because we're going to have times where we need the care and the love of someone. When we go through those down times, when we go through tragedy, when we go through some hard times, we're going to need the body there. And God has designed it in such a way that we're there to pick one another up. And as the scripture tells us in verse 26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. In the last couple months, we've seen the church family in action. And I love the way that, as I've observed many of you who've gone to the funerals, who've been there at the bedside of someone who's really suffering, it just reminds me of that kind of a compare and the need that we have for one another in the local church. America is a wonderful place for us to grow up in and to live with all the freedoms that we enjoy. I love our country. I appreciate so much the history of our country, men and women who have given their lives for us and our freedoms. However, with that freedom, many times we've grown in our spirit of individualism. It's kind of born and bred in us early on. Stand up, be your own man, do your own thing, take care of yourself. Kind of the spirit of the old Wild West. Individualism is helpful, but when taken into the Christian life, it's bad. Many people have no concept of what it means to belong to a family. But I love what Eddie said, the idea that this is her family, sometimes more than her earthly family. And many of you have experienced that. The demise of the nuclear family has impacted the church family. And people move from church to church and go from here to there and never really find their place. But we need to find a local church and get involved in the local church and get to know the people in the local church. And we are a family. We are the body of Christ. We belong to one another. In fact, I love verse 27 when it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." And so we need to feel and sense that part. As we get down toward the end, I won't deal with the gifts themselves in verses 28 and following there, and I didn't earlier in the chapter. I think that that's for a whole other discussion. But find what your gift is and find your place, because if you're not there, the body suffers and you have a part to play. And I think as you get down to verse 31, that intrigued me. And I was bothered by that because it says, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts." And I was saying, how does that fit in with all this? Here he is talking about don't promote, don't seek after. God has given you the gift that you have. And I was saying, how does that figure and factor into the whole matter? As I've read commentaries, I believe John MacArthur has done a great job on this verse when he said that really we could better understand it in this way. As he comes to the conclusion of this whole portion and saying everyone's needed, no one can say they're more important, he says, I think he's kind of using a comment to the church there, and he's saying, you are desiring the greater gifts. In other words, as a commentary saying, you are wanting the greater gifts, but don't do that. Rather, I'll show you a more excellent way. And then he goes on into chapter 13 and he says, you need to go the loving way. You need to love one another. You need to accept one another, care for one another, and see the importance that each other has in this whole place. One person alone, no matter how gifted, cannot play a Beethoven symphony. One person alone cannot act out a Shakespearean tragedy or compete against another team by themselves. The same is true in the local church. It can never be a solo performance. True caring flows out of connectedness. And when we care, we become more connected. We're in this together, folks. Did you know that every snapshot in the church, of the church in the New Testament is a group picture? Think about that. I'm not sure who said that, but I came across that this week. Every snapshot of the church in the New Testament is a group picture. The idea that we need one another. It's not just us doing our own thing. And so to bring this to conclusion, I'd like to say this. If you're not plugged in here at New Life, get connected. We talk about how to fulfill our mission, and we say, get connected. Connect, grow, and serve. Get connected, first of all, to God. Come to know Him as your Savior, as Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you'll have a relationship with God. Get connected with one another, then grow, and then find your place of service. Second, look for ways that you can use your gift to minister to others. Even look around you today, before you leave this place. See if you can't put a smile on someone's face through your words of encouragement. Pull alongside those who are struggling and lift them up. Write a note. Give a phone call. Prepare a meal. Provide childcare. Give financial assistance. Whatever it may be, use the gifts that God has called you to use. And third, be vulnerable and ask for help if you need it. All of us get weary and discouraged. When you hurt, we all hurt. Don't be afraid to say, I hurt. I need help. God's word is so wonderful. This illustration of the body is very helpful. Unity and diversity. May God help us to recognize our part. Father, thank you for your word. Though it's very obvious as we look at the body and the illustration of the oneness yet diversified, I pray, O God, that we would look again within ourselves and say, Lord, help me to be looking for ways to minister to the body. And when we recognize that need, that we would not just wait for someone to tell us or encourage us, but that we would be prompted by your Spirit, vessels, servants, that would go to the aid of others. Lord, thank you for designing the local church to bring glory to yourself as we work together and as we do so in unity with one another. We thank you for Christ in Jesus' name. Amen.